To look at 1 Kings chapter 17 on today, begin at verse 2, and want to, as God continues to minister to us about how to handle transition, want to talk on today by the Spirit about how to handle ravens. First Kings chapter 17, verse 2, the Bible says, "Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Cherith Ravine, east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have directed the ravens to supply you with food there." So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Cherith Ravine, east of the Jordan, and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food." So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord God, your God, lives," she replies, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son so that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Do not be afraid. Go home and do as you have said, but first make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, the jar of flour will not be used up and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land." Somebody will shout right there. She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and for her family. For the jar of flour was not used up and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. I'm going to lift something up for you also. You don't have to turn there, but it comes from Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 11. I want you to hear verses 13 through 19. This is when God is giving a list of those animals which are clean and unclean. Leviticus chapter 11, he says, "And these you shall detest among the birds. They shall not be eaten. They are detestable." That means they're unlovable. They're disgusting. They're something I don't want you to be associated with or around or affiliated with. They're the untouchables of the animal kingdom. "These you shall detest among the birds, and they shall not be eaten. They are detestable. The eagle, the bearded vulture, the black vulture, the kite, the falcon of any kind." You can't eat these. You can't touch these. "Every raven of any kind." Every raven of any kind. "The ostrich, the nighthawk, the seagull, the hawk of any kind, the little owl, the cormorant, the short-eared owl, the barn owl, the tarny owl, the carrion vulture, the stork, the heron of any kind, the hoopoe, and the bat." Verse 15 literally says the raven of any kind. The raven of any kind. The raven of any kind. "You will drink from the brook, and I have directed the ravens to supply you with food there." Big Father, your servants are listening. We pray that you would anoint all of our ears to hear, eyes to see, and mouths to speak for you, and we'll be careful to give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. What do I do when God tells me to receive from you and I don't like you? How do I handle the fact that God is forcing me into relationship with somebody I can't stand? What do I do? What do I do when my husband is crazy? Will not come with me to church. Won't worship like I want him to. Won't read the word. Won't pray. Won't fast. But wants to tell me what to do and be in charge of everything. What do I do when my mother is not a believer, but for whatever reason, she wants to be all up in my marriage? And because of where we are financially, I'm somewhat dependent on them to help me get through what I'm getting through. What do I do when I don't like you? I don't like anything about you. I don't like you inside or out. I don't like what you represent. I don't like what you stand. You're on my least liked list. If I'm a male and you're a female, and the future of humanity depends upon us getting together, add us to the extinction list, because I'm not. What do I do when God has put me into a situation where I have to be in relationship, not just in relationship, but dependent upon it? What do I do when I have to sit under you? What do I have to do when I have to rely on your insight and what you say in order to be in line with the will of God? It's not just about me, but the way God has constructed this thing. If I'm going to honor him, I've got to submit to you. What do I do? Preach in here. This is where Elijah is when God sends a drought through him and then says, receive from a raven. Now, the first thing is, I want you to understand that you can't get so caught up on the raven. Preach. Help me, God, that you miss out on what God is using the raven to do. The raven can be a problem if all you do is focus on him or focus on her. But here's what you've got to do. Tell your neighbor, sometimes you got to choose to shout. Sometimes you've got to choose to shout. Good God, I feel like you've got to choose to celebrate. You've got to choose to find the silver lining. You've got to choose to find the reason to praise. Because if you focus on the raven, you'll miss out on the fact that it's a drought. Food is nowhere to be found. There's water not water is drying up all throughout the land, but God has already told you, I'm going to feed you and I'm going to water you despite what's happening all around you. Don't get so focused on the raven that you miss out on the fact that God is going to bless you anyhow. And I came by to tell you that when you see ravens coming in your life, you've got to know that sometimes God will send them your way so that he can let you know, I can bless you anyhow. You think that the raven is detestable, and it is. You think that the raven is a bearer of bad news, but I'm just so much God that even when a bearer of bad news comes in your life, even when trouble comes your way, I'm still able to keep you. I'm still able to provide for you. I'm still able to put food on your table. I'm still able to put clothes on your back. Your boss might be a raven, feel like preaching right here, might be getting on your last nerves, might not love you, might not like you, you might not like them, they might be detestable to you, but don't you know God can use that same Bama boss to give you the raise that you need to take care of your family? You may not like your coworker, but God can use your coworker to cover for you, even though they talk about you, even though they tear you down. He can use them to be the blessing that he needs, because he's just that much God. You may not like the deacon, may not like the leader, may not like me, but I came by to tell you, if you don't focus on Omari, and if you lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up the everlasting doors, I don't care who's in the pulpit, I came to tell you the King of Glory, he shall. Good God, I know he shall. He'll come in. And so don't get so caught up on the raven. That's what it says. That's what it says. That's what it says. Verse 2. Verse 3. Verse 4 says, don't get stuck on the raven. Celebrate me for the supply. But then celebrate me for the supply, because I could go ahead and let you just stay out there and die like everybody else. I could allow the same drought that's affecting them to affect you. Oh, God, help me in here. I know you might have a few feathers around you that you don't like, but just brush them off. Just brush them off. Don't focus on the raven. You just focus on the supply. I'm supplying. I'm keeping you. I'm sustaining you. Food is there and clothes are there. Your mind, somehow, even with the crazy squawking of the raven in your ear, you still got peace in your mind. So he says, don't focus on the raven. Don't focus on the raven, get decided by the supply, and then focus also on the there. Word of the Lord came to Elijah, leave here, turn eastward, hide in the Kereth ravine east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have directed the ravens to supply with food there. Leave here and go there. Leave here and go there. I'm still sending you. I'm still providing direction for you. I'm still moving you in the direction of your destiny. And what I need you to do is stop focusing on all the things going on around, but focus on getting there. Because if you just get where I need you to be, if you can get there. Now, what's interesting about this is that at this time, the Bible says that a drought is coming into the land. I feel like preaching. There's a drought coming into the land. And so the drought is coming into the land, and there are major rivers in the area, because we know where they are, and they're surrounded in an area that's never just a fertile crust. And we know they have the River Euphrates. We know they have the Jordan. All those rivers are there. And the Bible says that there's a major river that, of course, they would know. The Jordan River would flow through this area, but there's also a tributary, or there's also brooks that connect to the major river. And what's interesting is during a time of drought, nobody would think that you could be supplied by a brook, because a brook is dependent upon a larger body of water. So if I'm trying to survive a drought and I want to be around a place where I'm most likely to find water, I'm going to go to the biggest pond I can find. I'm going to go to the biggest river I can find. I'm going to go to the nearest large body of water. If I could drink an ocean, I can't because it's salt water, but I would go there because my thinking says the larger the body of water, the better it is. But what God tells Elijah is, I'm not going to supply you by the large body of water. That's human thinking. What I'm going to supply you based is on this small body of water. Now, here's what I need you to understand if you're going to celebrate that. First of all, you don't have to have everything they have for me to keep you. You can just have a little trickle, but I can keep it trick, 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 trick. And so the CEO with the six-figure job may get laid off, but here you are with your $15.95 and you still got a check every week. And what you don't recognize is I can supply you with the little brook. And that's not all. There's more, Deacon George, because if everybody is just trying to survive during the drought, then what's going to happen is the Jordan River, the major body of water, is going to be crowded. See, because everybody's going to think I should go there. But can I tell you, God is not just concerned about protecting you. I want you to know he's not just concerned about providing for you. During this time period, Elijah is not very popular in the land, because Elijah is the one who God has used to speak to Ahab and declare the drought. If you do a little bit more reading, you'll find out that Elijah has been on the run for his life, and that they've been slaying Ahab and his corrupt queen Jezebel, have been slaying the prophets of Baal, slaying the prophets of God all throughout the land. They've been propping up the prophets of Baal. And so Elijah does not simply need to be provided for during this drought. He also needs to be protected. And I just came by to tell you some good news. Not only will God provide for you, but my God will protect you. And sometimes the way he protects you is by putting you in a place that's so detestable to everybody else. Oh, God, help me in here. That your enemies wouldn't think to look there, because they're thinking to themselves, nobody would go there. Nobody would tolerate that. Nobody would put up with that. Nobody would put themselves in that place. But God can sometimes provide and protect you by simply moving you into where he needs you to be. So I've got to get there. I can't be worried about the raven. I've got to be focused on the supply. And I've got to go and I've got to get there. The other thing that you need to understand is that the Bible says that the raven is detestable. The Bible says that the raven, amongst all these other animals, is detestable. But the Bible says this, that the raven is a bird that you are not allowed to eat. And this is where it gets tricky, because I want you to see this, because the Bible says that you can't eat the raven. You can't eat him. Can't eat her. Detestable. That means don't like. But here, God asks us to grow up in our relational maturity. He says, you're not going to like the raven. You can't eat the raven. Not liking and not eating are two different things. I cannot like you and still stand beside you. This is where relational maturity comes in. Cannot like you and still submit to your authority, because not liking and not eating are not the same thing. I cannot stand, young people would say, can't stand your guts. But I can still be in the same house as you. I can still serve in the same ministry as you. I can still speak to you. Now, immature believers and immature human beings can't handle this level of relational maturity. This is not This is not for the novice Christian. Because if you don't have relational dexterity, you'll be so pigeonholed in your not liking that you won't recognize God didn't ask you to like them. God told you not to eat them, but know the intricate details of your assignment. Because not liking and not eating are two completely different things. And see, in the passage of scripture that we're reading, God tells Elijah, here's what I'm going to do. Woo! I'm going to use the raven to bring food to you. But watch this. This is what the raven's going to do. We're going to get ready to get out. I'm going to get ready close. Get out. Raven's going to do this. Raven's going to get up. Raven's going to fly your way. Raven's going to drop off the food. The raven's not going to spend the night. The raven's not bringing a sleeping bag. The raven's not going to lay on your pillow. The raven's not going to eat your food. The raven's going to drop off your food. And then the raven's going to fly right back away. Then what I'm going to do when it's time for you to eat again is I'm going to send the raven back. Raven's going to show up with your food. Raven's going to drop off your food. Raven's not going to stay any longer than I've told the raven to stay. You ain't got to marry this raven. You ain't got to sleep with this raven. You ain't got to share a bed with this raven. You ain't got to get along with this raven. All you got to do is receive what I'm sending your way from this raven. And I just came by to tell somebody in here on this morning, you've been frustrated by your assignment because you're not focused on what God really told you to do. God didn't tell you to eat the raven. God didn't tell you to love the raven. You can still detest the raven, but if God told you to receive what I'm sending through that raven, you better open up your mouth and you better let it come in, because your survival and being in line with the will of God is not about whether you like it or not. It's about whether you're willing to do what God has called you to do. And I'm getting out of here on today. God bless you real, 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 real good. But I came on to tell somebody in here. I came by to tell somebody in here, when your pastor is gone and I'm no longer in the pulpit, you might have to work with some people who you may detest. You may think they are raven, but I wonder, is there anybody here and you found out in your life that even the folks who don't like you, even the folks who you don't like, God can use them to bless you. Bless you anyhow. Touch your neighbor real quick and say stay. Say stay. Say stay. Say stay. Say stay on your assignment. God didn't ask you to love them. God didn't ask you to marry them. God didn't ask you to snuggle with them. All God said is, when you come into the sanctuary, whether you like them or not, you ought to lift up holy hands and give them praise together. You ought to serve him with gladness. Serve them with gladness together. You ought to walk together. Now you ain't gotta snuggle while you're walking. You ain't gotta smooch while you're walking. You ain't gotta hold their hand. But if you walk together, children, don't you get weary. There's a great. See, the hallelujah, I feel right here, I feel something, hallelujah. And I want you to understand that one of the reasons you got to get over that is because just like they are raving to you, you are raving to somebody else.
There's somebody who can't stand you. Somebody who don't like your light-skinned self. Somebody don't like your dark-skinned self. Somebody don't like the way you praise, where you worship, where you sing. And just like God has them tolerating you, God wants you to tolerate somebody else. But if you have enough relational maturity to look beyond the raven, and my God, what's more important to you? I hear God saying, is it more important to you that you're not around nobody you don't like? Or do you want to survive this thing? Because the drought is coming. The season of difficulty is on the way. But if you stay right there on your assignment, God will make a way. And he'll keep food on your table. He'll keep clothes on your back. He'll keep the church doors open. He'll keep the choir singing. Won't he do it? He'll keep the light bill paid. He'll keep them coming in. Won't he? Say yes. Say yes.
You getting so focused on the raven, you forgot about the fact you got a job. You so focused on the raven, you forgot all about the fact your lights were on when you left the house. So focused on the raven, you forgot about the fact that you got peace in your mind. You so focused on the raven. See, if you've never had those things, or if you don't know what it's like to lose those things, you don't know the value of them. But there's somebody other than me that knows what it's like to have so much anxiety that you can't sleep, to have so much stress on you that you gotta pray all night just to make it through. There's somebody other than me who knows what that's like. And so when you got all that covered, I can deal. You know, as a matter of fact, let me tell you where I am. You can plop me in a flock of ravens and I'm gonna be all right, because I've learned how to make it. And here's the thing that God wants you to know. The raven is under my control. Lord, help me. God told Elijah, I have commanded this raven. I'm not sending you to a dog off of a leash. No. I'm sending you to something fully under my control. I may have you around the raven, but this raven doesn't bat an eye unless I tell it to bat an eye. This raven can't get out the bed if I don't get him out the bed. This raven can't think straight if I don't tell him to think straight. This raven can't fly without me. This raven doesn't know where to find the meat that is bringing you unless I supply him with it. And so the raven is fully under my control. So here's the shout, and I'm gone. You may not trust the raven. You may not like the raven. But what about me? Haven't I been faithful? Haven't I kept you? If you know I will, open up your mouth and say, say yeah. I gotta scream one time. Ow! I'm saying.
Man, I wanna have church, but I know it's early. I wanna have some church. I want to have church, Nate. I want to go in. I want to tell you, you don't know what God is about to do. You're about to have a testimony unlike any other. Because it's one thing if God kept you with all your friends around. It's one thing if God provided for you with your family having your back. But God says, I can send you to a place where you have nobody else around. And I can give you a testimony like this, that I brought you out, that I'm part of the reason that I have to send you to Cherith and that I have to give you the experience of providing for you there is that this is not the last stop on your journey. See, after the drought is over, or before the drought is over, I'm not going to allow you to stay at the brook. I'm bringing you to the brook so you can see I can keep it flowing. No rain is going to fall, but I'm going to keep it flowing. No rain is going to fall, but I'm going to keep it flowing. You need to have that experience. Never underestimate the value, Shalay, of an experience with God. You can go to church your whole life, but until you have certain experiences, they don't mean nothing. But my God, when you had an experience, and see, God knows that Elijah's next stop is going to be more difficult to believe than that. See, Elijah, how can I send you to Zarephath, to a woman who's about to die, and tell her that the oil in her jar is not going to stop flowing, if you don't even believe that I can keep a brook flowing? But if you can look back over your life and know that I bought you through and know that I kept it flowing, you ain't got no problem showing up in somebody else's house and saying, if he did it for me, he can do it for you. Now give him praise. Yeah, yeah. I gotta praise. I gotta praise and I gotta get it on. I gotta praise. Clap your hands, hey, ha. Clap your hands, hey, ha. Hey. See, this is what Elijah said. When I look back over my life and I think things over, I can truly say that I've been blessed. I got a testimony. Then he said this. When I look back over my life and I think things over, I can truly say that I've been kept. I got a open up the doors of the church on today. Come on, put your hands together and give God praise for the word and thank God for it. God has kept you. And so, see, sometimes God has kept you. And because of the experience that you've had, you're now supernaturally positioned to be able to tell somebody else that God will keep them too. If you had not have had the experience, there comes a time when you have to get something, when you're doing your theological education, called field education. You got to have field experiences. You can sit behind a desk, you can read a book all day long, but until you get out there in the field and you experience certain things, your marriage, you got to get out there in the field. Your job, you got to get out there in the field. When it comes to prayer, if you really want to believe prayer works, you got to get out there in the field. They're coming. They're already coming. But you got to get out there in the field. And when God gets you out there in the field, then you know that God will provide, even if he has to do it through ravens. Are you here on today? Would you come? Some man, some woman, some boy, some girl. Man, I feel preaching all over me. Is there one on today? Some man, some woman, some boy, some girl. Would you come? Do you need to give your life to the Lord? Do you need to rededicate your life? Do you need to be baptized? Would you come? Would you come? We're clapping for you. We're celebrating God for you. Lord, why are they doing that? Sing this. I can truly say. Are you here? Are you here? Would you come? Would you come? Do you need to give your life to the Lord? Do you need to rededicate your... Can you truly say that you've been blessed? Would you come? Does the Lord want you here at this branch of Zion? Here comes our sister. Come on, let's celebrate God. Come on, let's celebrate. Would you come? Some man, some woman, some boy, some girl. Do you need to rededicate your life to God? Do you need to give your life to the Lord? Hallelujah. I got a tester. Take your seats in the presence. One of the, thank you, deacons. Thank you. One of the, take just a second of pastoral privilege. No slide. One of the misconceptions that we have in church is that everybody is supposed to like you. It's mind-blowing because what happens is you don't expect everybody to like you on your job. You're like, you know what? Every now and then you come across a coworker that you can connect with. And you all talk and you relate, but you don't expect that. But somebody told you that the church was full of perfect people who like everybody, only want to see you win. That's what the church is becoming. See, the difference between the church and the secular world is the becoming. Preach. Because we all are becoming who he has called us to be. Because he who has begun a good work in us is faithful. We're in the church, you're around people who are becoming. In the world, there's no guarantee that they're doing anything moving forward. But you don't have to be liked, and you don't have to like in order to serve with and in order to complete your assignment. And I just wanted to tell you, because it hit me real hard that some people are so focused on the detestable raven. And I want to affirm you, because I'm learning to listen. I'm learning that my wife make me a better husband, better listener. I want to affirm you in your feelings. Yes, that raven is detestable. Nobody's saying it's a likable raven. But what we are saying is your assignment is not to like it. And God still didn't violate his word. He didn't tell you to eat it. All you have to do is take what it drops off. Do what you've been assigned to do. And God will bless you, and God will keep you, and God will use even that detestable thing to ensure that you make it through. God bless you.